This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
Matt, let's start with the most recent update from Austin Public Health's Dr. Mark Escott speaking on Wednesday.
We've seen some positive trends associated with COVID-19. We're seeing a plateau and a trend towards a decrease in the number of new cases. We've seen a plateau and a trend to decrease in terms of the new admissions to the hospital. And these are refreshing things.
So that's been the message from public health officials in Austin for almost 2 weeks now, that ever so slightly, coronavirus numbers seem to be going down in the area. What could be reasons for that? Well, one could be testing. At the beginning of June, the city was providing tests for pretty much anybody who was using the city's online enrollment form. But when labs and drive-through tests got slammed, that messaging changed a bit and the city shifted its focus to only testing people with symptoms of the virus or people who had confirmed contact with a sick person. So could there be less testing going on? Well, according to Dr. Escott, that's not the case. He says Austin Public Health administered a record 6,000 COVID tests last week alone.
So I think we're doing a good job at testing, and I don't think that's contributing to the decrease in cases.
So maybe those numbers are indeed plateauing, cases and hospitalizations in the Austin area. But Matt, let's talk about where they're plateauing. Where are those numbers sitting at?
Yeah, so right now cases, like Escott said, are going down. You know, we kind of saw our peak a couple of weeks ago with like daily cases in the, you know, in the 700s, above 500 pretty consistently. But now it's kind of back down in the 200s. You know, there are one day spikes here and there, but on average, our 7 day average for new cases is only about 303, which is, you know, far down from where it was a couple of weeks ago. So I wanted to get a sense of where things were in the big picture. So I called this guy, his name's Spencer Fox. He's the associate director of UT's COVID modeling consortium. And so they take all the data that's out there, all the hospitalizations, all the case numbers, all that, and they kind of crunch it together and they make a forecast about where things might be headed. And here's what he told me.
Right now, we're projecting that we're in a declining pandemic phase.
And so you hear that and you think, hey, everything's good, right? And so I asked him what people should be taking away from that. And he said there wasn't really a clear answer about what people should be taking away from it right now. But
I can tell you the wrong thing to take away from that. And the wrong thing to take away from that is the idea that, oh, we're in a declining epidemic phase, so I can go back to life as normal.
And so the thing that you have to keep in mind is the data that we're seeing right now is actually not what's happening right now. There's this huge lag in when these numbers are coming in. So if you think about a certain case, like a particular case, there's the time that that person actually comes into contact with the virus and they get infected. And then there's a lag time before they even get tested. So maybe it's a few days, maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks. And then there's the lag time for when they test positive, and that's maybe up to a week before the test results come back. And then beyond that, there's another lag, a couple of weeks before they might go into the hospital if it gets that bad. For some of them, it does. And then after that, there's a couple more weeks before, you know, God forbid, they die. And so what we're looking at here is in terms of the positive tests that are coming back, that's actually what happened. You know, that's the case transmissions that happened weeks ago. The hospitalizations that we're seeing is even further back when those cases were transmitted. And then when people die, those cases may have been much further back.
And that sort of makes sense with what we're seeing, Matt, because I think at the beginning of June is when we started to really see the surge take effect. And now it seems the amount of deaths in the Austin area are getting higher as a result of those earlier cases, not cases that are coming back positive yesterday or last week.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And like everybody I've talked to expects the number of deaths to actually continue to increase in the next couple of weeks because of all the folks that we're seeing in the hospital right now that are still in the hospital and very, very sick. And certainly we've seen the number of deaths across the state rising, and that's because of the huge surge in cases over the last month or two.
And I think that it's going to be important. I know that Dr. Escott said this week that daily case numbers aren't really going to be the truest sense of the virus's impact in Austin anymore. Like we've been talking about here, the daily case count is going down, but we are seeing higher deaths. So that is definitely going to be one number to keep in mind. Dr. Escott was also concerned with another thing.
Right now, our concern is still the ICU capacity in terms of primarily the personnel to staff those beds. Our hospitals are doing well. They've got space still at all levels of the hospital, but they're strained. They're tired.
So how full are hospitals right now, Matt? Hospitals, at least in the Austin area.
The hospital groups in the area put out that data once a week. And so hospitals are about three quarters full, but ICUs are a little bit fuller than that, in the 80% range. And that's actually come back a little bit. You know, we've had some people discharged from the hospital and fewer new people going into the hospital. But these are still at really high rates. Like the hospitals still are seeing a lot of people going into the hospital, you know, much more than with the flu or anything like that. And I talked to somebody at Dell Medical School, Dr. Kristen Mundy. She heads the infectious disease division at Dell Medical School. So she's still really concerned about the number of people in the hospital and the number of people going into the hospital. So you've got all these people in the hospital, and we also don't have a totally clear picture of how many cases are actually out there. You know, there's some estimates out there, like from the CDC this week, that we don't actually have a real grip on the number of cases that are in the community and that are spreading.
I mean, think about it. Over 450 people in the Austin area alone hospitalized with COVID. I mean, when I can't ever in my entire life think of a disease like the flu or something where that many people were hospitalized.
And so while we might be seeing a decrease in the rise in cases right now, so, you know, a plateauing or maybe even a slight decrease, you know, Spencer Fox from UT told me that can change really, really easily. Like there's a tipping point where the number of cases can increase and the reproduction of those cases, the transmission of those cases can really tip over into exponential growth pretty easily. And so now is not the time for people to let their guard down. It's to continue doing what we've been doing.
So, Matt, it sounds like cases and hospitalizations may be starting to plateau. Health officials have said they don't want to get ahead of themselves, but the numbers are starting to look better. But it's pretty obvious that now is not the time to relax any restrictions. There's a lot of volatility in how these numbers are being processed and how quickly things can change. So it's pretty obvious that we are going to have to continue doing the things that we're doing in order to stay at a plateau or even bring those numbers down.
Right. And that's exactly what Spencer Fox from UT's modeling consortium told me.
What I think we proved as a city is we can slow down the epidemic without strict shutdown orders. But the big question is whether what we're doing is enough to actually start seeing declines in the epidemic. And, you know, our best estimate right now is kind of a yes to that, but there's a lot of uncertainty. So I don't want to be kind of overly confident.